one who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might through him, or that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. It's an incredible text that we have here. A text that we could study for weeks and weeks. And we see some of the things being reiterated again as we've been going through the book of 1 John. You look and he's saying, beloved, let us love one another. As a church here, Reverence Bible Church, let us love one another. The fruit of God saving us, the fruit of the Holy Spirit capturing your heart, is that we would be a people who love one another. It's natural. It's the outpouring of God in us. There's a change that's taken place. And yet there's also a command, love one another. But it tells us here, everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. If you're born again, you love. If someone's not born again, they don't have the same ability to love with that Christ-like love, a genuine love, a real love that God's talking about. And he's saying to the church, beloved, love one another. He goes on and he says, in this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. We see a picture of God's love for us. He's showing it to us. He displays the greatness of his love in that he sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. John's saying, love one another. You have the display. You've seen what love is. Now, love one another. Let's move down for a moment to verse 12. It says, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. It goes on and says, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love of God, that the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Incredible. As you look at this, it's simply saying that when God abides in you, you love one another. You know that he abides in you, and it's this continuing on of, how do you know? How do you know that you're saved? How do you know that there's genuine salvation? And he says, you'll see that the Holy Spirit is inside you. You believe and you confess that Jesus is the Son of God. If this is the case, God abides in you. There is love that's there. It's a genuine love. Now, the text that stood out to me the most as far as what I wanted to focus on primarily this morning was the last verse in our section, in verse 19, where it says, we love him because he first loved us. We see a section here of Scripture that's dealing with us loving one another, our love for God, but then we find at the end here, he says, we love him because he first loved us. Now, as you're here with me this morning as believers, you would agree with that. You love him, right? We love him. We look and we think, and I can honestly say I love the Lord my God. I love him. I love to praise him and worship him. To think about God, I think about the fact that he's all powerful. He does whatever he desires to do. There's no one that can stop him. There's no one that can stop his hand and say, you can't do that. I think of a God like that, and I find security in an all-powerful God, and I find myself just in love with him. I can picture nights going on retreats and being up in the mountains, up in Yosemite or in Sequoias or Big Sur or someplace like that, and just worshiping him. We'd go out into some meadow and worship him, and the stars are out. You see shooting stars going from all directions, and just singing to God. And those are some of the best times of my life, is just being in a place where I'm just worshiping the Lord my God, thinking of his power, thinking that he is full of glory, he's clothed in majesty. He is all that is good. Everything that could possibly be good, he is. All that is absolutely perfect, he's all that is holy. It never changes. You think of God, I love that about him. I love that he's the same yesterday and today and forever. There's no shadow or turning. There's no such thing. He continues on. He can't change for the better. He can't change for the worse. He's perfect. I love that he's at all places at all times. I love that about God. I love that I know that there's no place that I could go where God is not, where I'm not safe, where he's not in control of all things. I love that there's not a sparrow that falls to the ground apart from his will. I love that about him. You know, the times when you're so stressed, like, well, how are we going to get through this? How's it going to all work out? And you look and you think, God's in control and he loves me, and I have this relationship with him, and he's not frustrated and there's nothing too hard for him. I love that he knows all that I need. He knows all things. He's altogether wise. I love that he's full of mercy and he's full of compassion. I love that he became the substitute for my sins. Don't you? You think about it and you consider your life. You think about the time that it was before that you were a Christian. And you may look and think, oh man, like I would, some of the stuff I did, I can't even believe I did. You see it now as this front on a holy God, and you look and you're just like, you forgave me of all that. You made the payment for it. All those sins, every sin I ever committed, he paid for it. I think of that time in my life and I just think, God, your grace is amazing. The time when you're a believer and you continue to sin, this last week, this last month, things that maybe stand out in your mind, and he became the substitute for those sins. Paid for him. Every sin that you'll commit in the future, he's covered them. They're gone. Hurled them into the depths of the sea. And there's times where I start to think about the greatness of my sin, and I love him. The one who's been forgiven much loves much also. Anybody here that takes a true account of their life and true account of their sin, you sit here this morning and you say, I love them. I love them. There's just been this weight that's been taken off me that I never could have taken off myself. I love that I'll never in the slightest way have to suffer the least bit of the wrath of God. Not one particle of God's wrath will ever come upon me. And it's because it was all placed upon Christ on the cross. I love that about him. I love that he's given us the Holy Spirit to comfort us and to guide us and to convict us of sin. I love that he's adopted us into his family. We can't even comprehend what that means, but all of the blessings of sonship. It's just as the Father loves the Son, so does he love us. entered into the family of God. I love that when I start thinking about that. I love that I have an inheritance that's reserved for me. It's incorruptible. It's undefiled. It doesn't fade away. I love thinking about heaven and eternity with Christ. I love that he's my father and he's my friend and he's my Lord. I love that he keeps his promises. He's a covenant keeper, even when I'm a covenant breaker. That God is faithful. I love his faithfulness, even when I'm faithless. I love him because he gives me joy that's inexpressible and it's full of glory. Joy as I just go about my life. Joy that I belong to him. Joy that I have salvation. Joy that I get to spend eternity with him. Joy that I'm clothed in robes of righteousness. I love that he assures me that he's going to mold me into his image. He's working in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Aren't you happy about that? Don't you love the fact that God's molding you? He's conforming you into his image. He began a good work in you and he'll be faithful to complete it. He's not going to give up on you. He's not going to cast you out. He'll keep you to the very end and he's changing you. He's molding you. You're not what you should be, but you're not what you were and God's changing you. I love that. Assures us that we'll spend eternity with him in heaven. I love that. And we could go through and we could spend all morning just talking about why it is that we love him. Why it is that there's a genuine love for him. Why it is that we can sing a song like we just sang. Lord, what moved your heart to love lowly man before any star could herald your praise? Why did you come abasing yourself, veiled in a robe of frail human clay? Why would you, the pure, give your life for the vile, the innocent seeking the guilty to be reconciled? The chorus is, I can't comprehend this fathomless love. I'm gripped in amaze at what you have done. Why would the adored become the despised to bear all the furious wrath that was mine? How awesome this mystery of your fathomless love for me. And we just sang that song and meant it from our hearts. And it was just this fathomless love that you have for us, God. And we come to our text and I think of why it is that we are here in a place of saying, I love him. My whole heart, I love him. With all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength, I love him. Why is it that I love him like that? And our text tells us that we love him because he first loved us. It's amazing. We love him because he first loved us. He doesn't love us because we loved him. It's not that God's looking and saying, okay, what are they going to do? What's their move? I'm a perfect gentleman. I'll only meet them partway. No, we see God initiating. We see God going and saying, You love me because I initiated it. The title of the sermon is, Who Was the Initiator? It was God. And this is what stood out on this page to me as I went through our text. We love him because he first loved us. He first did it. I can confidently say you would never have initiated it, neither would have I. I never would have. I may think that maybe I would have, but God says no. Let's look at the handout here. We have some texts that show this more clearly. Romans 3:10. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There's none who seeks after God. That's enough right there. I mean, as far as being clear, comprehensive, There's none that seeks after God. You maybe thought that you did. You maybe thought like, oh, I was seeking, I was looking all over, and finally I found Christ. And God say, no, you didn't. There's none that seek after him. They're haters of God. Scripture makes it so clear. We're haters of God. We didn't want to look for him. He's holy. We were unholy. He was light. We were darkness. Darkness wanted no place with the light. We weren't seeking after him. And yet, think about how it was in your life when salvation came about. Were you initiating it? No. Anybody that's honest will say, no, God initiated it. God sought me. We look at our lives and say, he put that man in my life, and that guy shared the gospel with me. Or he put it upon my heart to read that passage of scripture, and I read it, and it just changed me. It changed me. Or I went to that church service, and I never intended to go, and yet I went, and someone invited me, or whatever it was. And man, I saw that I was a sinner in desperate need of God's grace, and he captured me. I had no intention of it, but he captured me. Or he put me in this family where I had a mom and dad who just loved Christ, and or maybe just one parent that did, but I saw such a difference in them. There was such a difference. I saw Christ in them. He placed me there. He could have put me in any family in the world, and yet he put me there, and he called me, and I believed upon him. God initiated it. You weren't seeking him. Rather, he did it. Look at John 15, verse 16. Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. You didn't choose me, I chose you. It's clear. John 6, 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Who is the initiator? It was God. One of the best texts in this is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. Let's stop there for a second. The previous text talks about how we are children of wrath, going in a direction, not seeking after God, not wanting anything to do with God, dead in our sins and trespasses. And yet, God, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, we love him because he first loved us. He initiated it. We love him because he first loved us. We were dead in our sins with no desire whatsoever to ever love him, and yet he did it. Made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. Raised us up. Made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He did it. Understanding this is important for us. I focus on this morning because it's important for us. It's important for us because we won't honor him as we should if we think that we first loved him. We won't praise him as we ought if we don't understand that we love him because he first loved us. All praise and all glory and all honor belongs to him because he initiated it. He did it. He worked in our hearts. We look and we see in 2 Timothy 1:9, when did God initiate this love for us? It says, God, making reference to God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. We love him because he first loved us. That does something incredible to me when I think of God and his love for me, and I think that before time began, before there was anything, we sang a song just a few minutes ago, and I asked Pastor Matt if we could sing it again. Before any star could herald your praise, this begins. Lord, what moved your heart to love lowly man before any star could herald your praise? Before there was ever a star that was created, he loved me. He loved you. Before time began, before there was any time, before there was anything, he knew you and he loved you. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Before the foundations of the world, for the foundations of the world, he knew you. Before there were any stars, before there was any world, before he ever created it, before Genesis 1:1, he knew you. He loved you. Your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amazing. No wonder all glory and all honor go to him. No wonder the text that we just read, I mean, he predestined you to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. Why? Because you first loved him? No. According to the good pleasure of his will. That's one of the greatest mysteries to me right there. But I praise him for it. According to the good pleasure of his will, he loved you and he loved me before he ever created anything. So that we would praise the glory of his grace. So we'd praise him. So that we would love him. So we would respond in loving him because he first loved us. He first did it. He first initiated it. He chose you. He predestined you. He elected you from the foundations of the world. He did it. It honors him. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's different books, but it's reiterated over and over again. Before the foundations of the world, before the beginning of time, in the very beginning, God did it. He initiated it, and all glory and all honor belongs to him. All of it. You hear emphasized more often than not that God is in a place of trying his hardest to make people love him. But he's frustrated and unable to. It's preached all the time. But these things don't say that. These verses in Scripture as a whole does not teach that. Rather, it teaches that he initiated it. He did it. Those that go and spend eternity apart from Christ do it because they love their sin. They're haters of God. They want nothing to do with him. But God first loved us. He did this in us. He called us. We believe in the truth. We love one another. We love God's word. We desire to obey his commandments. We're lovers of God because God did it. He initiated it. He began the good work in us. He'll be faithful to complete it. He's regenerated our hearts, changed our hearts. He's molding and conforming them into his own heart and his own image. God did that. He did it. And all the glory and all the honor belongs to him. It's found over and over again in Scripture. He called you. You believed. And Christ receives the glory. Those that would focus primarily on your free will and your responsibility. And we teach a message that would be more man-centered. I don't think any of them would say for themselves that they loved God before he first loved them. They may try to say it about other people, but anybody that's really honest would say, no, he loved me before I loved him. He worked in my heart. He chose me. He drew me to himself. He did it all. All the glory and all the honor will go to him. As far as my salvation is concerned, it all goes to him. All of it. All the glory. God's love for us, when it says we love him because he first loved us, his love for us was uninfluenced. He didn't love you because you were lovable. Scripture makes that so clear. And I'm thankful for it. He didn't love us because we're lovable. It's not a thing that was caused by anything that he saw in me. It should be clear so far because he did these things before the foundations of the world, before the beginning of time, before all things, he did these things. It was uninfluenced. It was uncaused. There's nothing that I did that made God say, now you're, man, you're smart. Love your energy. You got a great personality. Man, I love you. I mean, you're one of the good ones. Not at all. Uninfluenced. Deuteronomy 7, verse 7. The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people. For you are the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you. So you sit here this morning and you're a believer. And when I was going through why it is that I love God, you sat there and said, yeah, that's me too, me too. Include me in that. I love him. I love to praise him. I love him. I love him for my salvation. I love him for who he is. I love him because he's all powerful. I love him because he never changes. I love him because he's at all places at all times. I love him because, man, he works all things together for good for those who love him, those who are the called. I love him. I love him. I'm a lover of God. I'm with you. I love him. I love to sing praises to him. And then you read a passage like this, and he said, he didn't set his love on you, and he didn't choose you because you're more number than all the other people, but you were the least. And if we're honest with ourselves, we'll look and say, I was the least. There wasn't anything good inside me. There wasn't anything lovable about me. I was the least. But simply, according to the good pleasure of his will, because the Lord loved you. We love him because he first loved us. Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord appeared of old to me and saying, yes, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I've drawn you. An everlasting love, it was before all the beginning of time. The very beginning, your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The chosen, and he knew you. Therefore, with his loving kindness, he's drawn you. He's drawn you. Ephesians 1:9, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself. It's uninfluenced. So we read our text. We love him because he first loved us. A verse that's similar to that is in verse 10, and this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins, the payment for our sins. It's not that we loved him. This is love, that he loved us. While we are still sinners, he loved us. He died for us. We love him because he first loved us. And so what does that do for us this morning? What does that do for our doctrine? For me, I sit here and I think, you mean that tells me that I wasn't the initiator. It wasn't because I influenced God in a certain way. But it was just according to the good pleasure of his will that he did this before time began. And it makes me, on this side of it, who knows, I know that I'll spend eternity with him. I know that he's washed away all my sins. I know what it is that he has done in my life. And I just think, I'll praise him. Both now and forevermore, I'll praise him. What a God it is that we serve that first loved us. That first loved us. The initiator. Before time began. Do you believe in him this morning? Do you believe that Christ died on the cross for your sins and rose again on the third day? Do you believe that all your sins were placed upon Christ as he died on that cross? And all his righteousness was placed upon you? Do you believe that salvation comes in none other than the Lord Jesus Christ? If you do, he abides in you. If you do, it makes manifest that before there was any time, he loved you. If you sit here this morning saying, I love him, I love him, I love him, you can praise him this morning because he first loved you. It's as good as it gets for us as believers. Will you pray with me? Lord God, it's a verse that we've read so many times. We love him because he first loved us. But the magnitude of the meaning of such a simple text is unfathomable. The only reason why we love you is because you initiated it. You first loved us. And so our response this morning, with reference to our position, our lives, our salvation, our love for you, our place of having forgiveness of sins, our response this morning is all glory and all honor belongs to you. What a wonderful place it is to know your love and to rest in it. May we respond rightly this morning with worship. In Jesus' name, amen.